Hi, and welcome to the Brand Telling Podcast. I'm Arthur Germain. Today with me, I have a special guest, Jacqueline Schiff, CEO of Podreacher. Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining me on the Brand Telling Podcast.
Arthur, it's so good to be here.
So Jacqueline and I know one another. I am actually a client to Jacqueline. And so I'm really excited and really, you know, pleased that you're able to come here because I think you offer a really terrific service for my agency and also for direct customers. And you do something that I think is really unique. I talk all the time about brand telling, about brand storytelling, but there's a craft and some mechanics to it as well. And I think that's what you and your team bring in. So maybe you can talk a little bit about Podreacher. Maybe first tell everybody what it is and what you do there.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Arthur, for having me. You know, it's been a pleasure working with you. I think we might be getting on to a year or so now and supporting the various kinds of clients that you work with as well. So as you mentioned, I'm the CEO of Podreacher. So I started the company about 4 years ago. And essentially what we do is we specialize, so we're essentially a niche content agency, and we specialize in content transformation. I like that phrase a lot better than content repurposing, because that's really what it is. So what we are doing is we're taking a recording of some sort. It could be audio, it could be video. We've worked from podcasts, we've worked from virtual conference presentations, webinars. We've even done some sales calls and turned it into a long form piece of written content. So for the most part, it's probably an article or a blog post, maybe with some social media copy. But we've also done case studies, white papers, eBooks. So anything where you can take a recording and expand it into a written version. And typically this is marketing funnel content. That's what we specialize in doing. And, you know, one reason we focus on this is because, you know, there's such an opportunity with creating recorded content. It's easier to do than ever. And there's so many opportunities to extend the life of that content, get more out of it, but it's time consuming. It's very time consuming to do it well. And, you know, a lot of the times it's like, there's this idea, and then, you know, no one can really get to it. And so where Podreacher fills the need is if you're creating some recorded content, or at least have your in-house thought leaders going on, you know, external podcasts. So it doesn't have to be recorded content that you're creating yourself. We can help you do more with it.
I think that's fantastic. And I love the idea of content transformation. I know you and I have talked about this before. We both work a lot with technology companies, and they often talk about the idea of digital transformation. And I think that content transformation is the right way to think about it. I think explain for people watching who think, well, if I've already recorded a podcast, why would I want to then, create an article from this or create an ebook from this? Maybe you could talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that you bring me back to the fundamentals because, you know, when you deal with this day in and day out, sometimes I even get away from that. But you know, this is kind of core to what marketing is about in 2022, is that, you know, there's so many different channels and you cannot wait for people to come to you, right? You've got to reach them where they're at. Right. And that can also differ, you know, according to the day. So for example, let's take myself. I might come across a video and, you know, today I feel like watching that video, but tomorrow I might not have the ability to sit and watch a video, it would be easier for me to skim something. Some people will always prefer to listen to a podcast, and some people will always prefer to listen to an article. So one reason you want to be taking your content and having it in different channels, whether it's video, audio, or written, is to simply have the ability to reach more people. Now, obviously, like, one of the advantages of having something in a written format is SEO. And that's a lot of what we, you know, a lot of the reason that folks will come to us is because they want to build out the ability for people to discover them and through SEO. So when someone's searching and you have a relevant solution to what they're searching for, you want them to be able to discover you. They're not going to do that from an audio file or a video file. I mean, YouTube is its own search engine, but, you know, Google is a low-hanging fruit. So why not have the written content to attract relevant customers, users, people that could be in your community at the moment when they are searching for you? So that's kind of some of the use cases.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that I see them as kind of working in tandem, you know, and I also think there are different personality types. There are people who are, you know, they'll say they're self, they kind of self-realize themselves to be visual learners. There are some people who are auditory learners. The thing I love about podcasts, especially audio podcasts, is I always say that they time shift, they geo shift, and they activity shift, meaning you can listen to them when you want, where you want, and whatever you're doing. Like, I'll listen to a podcast when I'm taking a walk. And, you know, it's kind of hard to read and do that, although my kids can manage that. So, you know, what I think is, you know, but there are different times when I'm in the office and I don't want to bother somebody next to me, you know, I might be reading something. But when I'm, right, you know, I'm home on the weekend, I might listen to a podcast outside on the deck because, you know, it's fine, you know. So I think that different people will listen, read, you know, consume that content in a different way or at a different time. And yes. One of the things I like is, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, what you do is not a direct transcript. I mean, transcript has its place. But you actually create brand new content from that existing content. So I think that's a mistake that I've chatted with my own clients about, to say, we're not going to just transcribe it. We're going to, you know, I like you, I'll use your word from now on. We're going to transform it and turn it into something else. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how you do that and also why you're doing that.
Yeah, man, I couldn't have asked for a better setup to that question. But that's exactly, you know, I think where the whole transformation comes in. So to your point, you know, a transcript is a valuable thing. So, you know, with anything that you're doing, that might be audio or visual, you know, a transcript is going to be a verbatim record of the conversation or the presentation. So it's going to be exactly what was said. Now, there's an accessibility piece to that. So someone who is hard of hearing and might not be able to listen on a transcript, it's, you know, there's you certainly want to have the exact record of the conversation for that reason. The thing I see a lot of people, and you've probably come across this as well, kind of the mistake in the thinking is they're like, okay, well, I'm getting it transcribed. And so that means it's search optimized, which really isn't the case. I've spoken with several SEO experts that I've worked with and consulted with over the years. It's very hard to get a page with a transcript to rank in search. And I'll get into the reasons why, but a lot of people kind of default to that thinking that I've got the transcript, so it's good. The reason we transform it, you know, and is like, okay, so the example that I like to give is, if you craft something for LinkedIn, you're not going to copy and paste the same thing on Twitter and expect it to get the same level of engagement on both platforms. When you go from one platform to another, you've got to optimize it for the channel. And it's the same thing with, again, taking audio or video and making it into something that people actually want to read. I know some people read transcripts. I personally am not one of those people. But again, this is why you want to have choices, because you want as many entry points for people to discover, know, and find you. What we do with a transcript, so we always will have a writer who's going to review the recording. So if it's audio, they'll listen. If it's video, they'll watch it. And then what we'll do is we'll take like the major insights, which probably means that we're only taking about 45, 50% of that conversation or recording. Let's say it's just a monologue or a presentation. And we're structuring it in a way that it's a compelling reader experience. So the way it's been recorded, it's a good recording. It's either a presentation, it's a free-flowing conversation, and that's engaging. But when you write it up so that someone actually wants to read it, there's got to be an introduction. Maybe the most interesting thing that was uncovered in the conversation is 25 minutes into a 30-minute conversation. And then you want to take that insight from 25 minutes and put it close to the top, right? Because that's going to draw readers in. And so that's what we're doing when we say we transform content. It's taking something and you have the foundation of it, but then turning it into something else that is appropriate for the channel.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think as I'm listening to you describe this, I'm reminded of something that I've spoken about before, about the core of the content, what you're trying to provide. That may be the same. I like to think of this, I have in my head this picture of a beautiful garden that you can see from a staircase above. That you can look down into this garden, and there are ways into that garden. You could walk down the stairs and go into the garden that way. You could then take a path that comes from the woods, and you're walking along stones into that garden, or you might prefer to walk along the grass itself and get into the garden and go under the arching trees as you enter. Your entry into that content, into that garden, is going to be different. It's going to shape your perception. But you're going to get to smell the same flowers when you get there, and so I think that what you're talking about, you may sit on the bench and enjoy them, or you might have somebody, you might bring a book with you. What your experience, I think, is what you're talking about, is the experience of the content is going to shift and change with the way that you engage with the content. So I think
I
that
love
that's a
that
very important
analogy.
thing.
That's a really good
I had
analogy.
an
I'm going
art
to use that.
director, yeah, please steal it. I had an art director who talked about he talked about stepping stones into the content, and he talked about the artwork being a different way into the content. He said, not everybody starts at the first paragraph and just reads through. They may look for the pull quote and they start from there, or they may look for a photograph with a caption that pulls them in from there. And I had never thought about content in that way until he described it. He goes, yeah, he says, my job is to get everybody into your content. Your job is to write good, compelling content, but they're not going to read it. Everybody's not going to read it linear when they look at it, in a magazine article. And I think that's the same with any content. So when you were one of the things that you said about SEO that really, really rings true for me is, I find so much SEO sometimes is kind of like writing for robots. That's what some of the transcription seems to me. If you actually read a transcript, there's a lot of, I'm sure I've said the word or 5 or 6 times in the conversation. I will try as best I can to stop myself. I've been doing podcasts before. I've made presentations. I know that it's better if I pause like that than to say, or and I can stop myself sometimes, but not always. The transcript, there's no stopping. It's all the way through there. I've had to pay people to just dig it out and clean it up, and they've said, wow, there's not a lot left. There's people who have been having a conversation, and some of that conversation seems to be a shared thing. I say, hey, you know what I mean? And you laugh and say, yes, exactly. And the person who's watching might understand because it was in context. If you're reading, though, you have absolutely no idea. You can see out the back window here, you can see cars pass me. If an ambulance passed by, you might say, oh, I hope that's okay. And I'd say, oh, me too. Nobody will have any idea when they read the transcript what that meant. And so I don't know it's adding any value to your SEO to just rely on a transcript at that point. So
yeah, you know, the other thing that is, so SEO is, it's very technical. And I'm also of the belief that you create content, to your point, for people, for the people that you're trying to reach first. And, you know, the tactics and the and stuff you pay attention to later. I'm not saying it's irrelevant, but I think great content isn't derived, you know, from an SEO strategy for the most part. You know, it should, what should it be derived from? Conversations you're having with customers, conversations you're having within your team where you've identified something in your process that only someone who's thinking about doing this day in and day out, you know, would think about, right? Because that's going to show your expertise. That's going to get across, you know, your story and the thing that differentiates you. And, you know, to your point, Arthur, I mean, you're talking about also like, so I've said, probably, you know, and to your point, that's also one that I use all right. the time. So we run a, you and I run a business full time. We're not, you know, full time. You're a terrific interviewer, but like, this isn't your main thing, right? And so for the most part, the kinds of folks that we are working with that are creating content, the expertise is there, but again, they're not necessarily professional interviewers. Is it worth their while to be having conversations? And frankly, is it easier to share the information in a conversation or in a presentation than it is to sit down and write like a very high level think piece? For most people, it is. You know, I'm sure you've also heard this term zone of genius, right? So you want to stay in your zone of genius, which for most people and most of the content that we're transforming and the clients that you work with is not, you know, it's not the writing, but it is, the ideas are there. And what's valuable about having a recording is it's a way to get the ideas out. And then there's so, you know, there's many different ways you can distribute them. So as an article, as social media, you know, you can do little video snippets, audio snippets. I mean, you know, there's the possibilities are endless.
I think that Gary Vaynerchuk is the king. I often tell people you got to Gary V that shit. You've got to just chop it up into all of the pieces that you possibly can. Gary did a piece that I love where he said, I had the opportunity to speak at an event and I was up on stage for 30 minutes. Let me show you how we turn 30 minutes worth of content into 50 separate pieces. And yes. And then he kind of sped it up and they showed how his team had cut it up and chopped it up. And it was brilliant because some people are just going to look for, you know, they had a still shot of him with a quote. And some people are going to go, yeah, that's great. And that's it. That's all they need. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people want to hear him. And somebody will need to hear Gary drop the F-bomb. And, you know, so it's always something different. But the ability to do that with that content, that what we used to talk about, you know, it like found content that you've got there. And I think that if you think about, especially about presentations and taking that either an individual presentation or if you and I were up on a panel speaking, they're not scripted. They tend to be very extemporaneous. They're going to be different every time. If you and I spoke on a panel in Vegas for content marketers, and then we spoke at one in New York for content marketers, it might be the same panel topic, but it's going to be a different discussion. Something new might have happened. Mm-hmm. It's a new audience. Somebody in the audience might be somebody we know. We pull them into the discussion. So each of those things, for me, each of those is a new performance that is providing you with new and dynamic content. If you can then take it and say, oh, great, let me turn an article, I'll bet you'd have two different articles because those are really two different experiences. And I love the idea of zone of genius. I'm going out and getting t-shirts with that now. It's a better, I think it's better than the idea of thought leadership. We talk about thought leadership. I talk about story leadership because very often a company has the subject matter experts who develop their thought leadership, or it's the CEO of a company who has their thought leadership. And as other people in the company share that, is it their thought leadership that's being shared? You know, they're really sharing the company's story leadership, which is, for me, it's all of the different stories that the company have developed over time. And that's what they would call the story leadership. So they have a zone of genius that they've developed over time. And I think that makes perfect sense. And that's what you want to share with prospective customers, because we're often talking about the awareness building, consideration and decision. I prefer that to the marketing funnel. I've spoken before about I feel like the marketing funnel is a little broken, because if you had a funnel in your kitchen that worked the way a marketing funnel worked, you'd be really tired of it. You'd be pouring flour in the top and nothing's coming out of the bottom. You go, what the heck is this thing doing, right?
Yeah.
But the idea of staging content and having different kinds of content available at different points is great.
That's another analogy that I'm probably going to have to steal from you. You're full of the good analogies today.
I think what I enjoy is trying to capture an idea, capture a thought in the story. As you and I were talking before we started the podcast, we both work a lot with technology companies. These are some of the best and brightest people that I've ever met. They're leading and saying, hey, we could do this smarter in a SaaS platform. And you go, wow, I've never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. But then their ability to tell why, they start saying, oh, it's multilinear, scalable, and it carries, multi-tenancy. And you go, what?
Yeah, right.
And you go, oh, we can have multiple people doing this at the same time, like in a building, multiple tenants. Oh, okay, I get that. And so you're like, tell me the story of how that works, and tell me the story of why is that. Don't say the word scalable, but show me something. There's a there's kind of a meme where it's like, tell me that you're X without telling me that you're X. And
yes,
I often think that the technology companies need to do that. Tell me that you're scalable without saying the word scalable. And that ends up being story. That ends up being telling how a company used your contact center software platform, that when times are good and they've got many people to book, they're able to bring in multiple remote workforce to work on their platform. And then when they don't need those people, they can shift them off of that platform and scale down. They can, they can have a smaller group. That's a story. Hey, during the winter season, when we had lots of skiers, our ski packages were big, but during the summer, not so much. So, we didn't need a whole workforce there. So, those kind of stories always stand out to me, because I just think you understand the value, because somebody can tell you the thing that mattered to you. The thing that mattered wasn't scalability. It was overall usefulness over seasons. That might have been what really made sense.
Exactly right. And sorry to interrupt, but to piggyback off of that point, and I'm sure you've seen this, there are so many marketers out there who are going to just be nodding to what you're saying. And the challenge a lot of them have is, so how do you tease this out? How do you get those subject matter experts to convey this stuff in a way that would be relatable to the end user, to the customer, to the prospect?
Whips and cattle prods, is that what you use?
That's an interesting thought.
But yes, I know corralling and getting the subject matter experts to provide the information.
It's a really impossible task. Yet, a lot of them already are speaking on podcasts, doing these presentations. And so that's an asset that you have, that where you're not asking, because I think with a lot of marketers, you know, they don't want to, and they don't feel like they can ask more of these people in house. And so, you know, that's taking an asset that you already have and, you know, not adding to their plate, but then also getting what you need out of it. You know, and then if it's a person like yourself or whatever, who can, you know, has an eye for storytelling and can help, you know, tease that information out. And so instead of repeatedly using the word scalable or whatever, translate that into a way that is going to convey more of the benefits. What will this do for you? You know, how will using your product really enhance my life? You know, that's where the, again, the transformation piece comes in.
I think that's brilliant. You know, if you think about what we've gone through, you know, just coming out of the kind of 2 years of lockdown, 2 years of work from home, 2 years of being on Zoom, Teams, Google Hangouts. We've recorded a lot of that. That has been, you know, recorded conversations, recorded material. I don't think I've seen as many, recorded online webinars over the past 2 years or more. I've seen more of them than I'd seen in a decade. And all of that's been recorded. And now you can use that, go back and dig in, because there's some rich content there that can be used to produce, as you said, an ebook, for example. If you had like a 1, 2, 3 part kind of a webinar on some topic, you know, coming back over to PodReacher with it and saying, okay, what can you do with this? You're like, what can I do with this? You could turn that into blog articles. You could turn that into an ebook, where you, you know, go into each of those pieces. And you could even refer back and say, hey, for more, go watch the video here. You know, so you don't lose that original source, but the original source material is a part of it and something that you can complement with the new content. Mm-hmm. So how does a company, an agency like mine or a direct, marketing firm, a marketer, how do they get in contact with you? What's the, what's a typical way that they'd work with you? I'm going to bring your website up again while you talk to us about that.
So, I mean, that's probably the best first place to go, podreacher.com. We have a contact form, you can kind of let us know what you had in mind, and we'll give you, we'll give you pricing, kind of do an intro call, let you know how we work. I'm also on LinkedIn and constantly trying to be a little more active on LinkedIn. So, I welcome any connections there. Best way to get in touch with us is probably the website, or folks could email me directly, Jacqueline@podreacher.com.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jacqueline. This has been fantastic. And again, if you're looking for ways to transform your content and to just do so much more with content that exists, that found content that you already have, I encourage you to contact Jacqueline and her team at podreacher.com. And Jacqueline, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Brand Telling Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Arthur. It's been a pleasure.